want to experience the room? My name is Wendy Parker, and I'm extending an invitation to you, dear friend, to open the door to my podcast. So come inside where it's warm, take off your coat, get comfortable, and together we will discover the spacious room. Hey there, and welcome to this week's Spacious Room episode, and I'm so glad you can join me. So this week, I'm going to be talking about pouring wine into wounds. Now, I'm not going to pretend that it doesn't sting a little when you're face down in the dirt trying to recover from wounds, and especially church wounds, because you discover that the very people who you believed could have helped you choose to pass you by. And it's not that they're blind and can't see your condition. It's just that their river of kindness and their mercy has dried up when they saw your messy blood trail that you've left behind you. And it led them to feeling that if they helped you out, it could potentially cost them something, cost them more than what they're willing to pay. And it's in that moment we need someone who is so moved by compassion for us that they don't just patch up our wounds and say, oh, good job, soldier, now carry on, but is willing to take our brokenness and pour wine into those infected wounds, which will heal us back to wholeness. And in the parable of the Good Samaritan, it is so well known. And whether you have read your Bible or you have not got a Bible at all, you know about the Good Samaritan parable. And its principles in the story, they're so deeply ingrained in each of us on some level. And this story, this parable, is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 36. And it's Jesus's response to a religious scholar, because the scholar was trying to justify his feelings of guilt. And Jesus starts the parable. It starts off with a Jewish man who's been robbed and left for dead. And then two religious people see him but choose to walk by. And Jesus then brings the story to a conclusion with a plot twist. And this is what he says in the parable. Finally, another man, a Samaritan, came upon the bleeding man and was moved with tender compassion for him. He stooped down and gave him first aid, pouring olive oil on his wounds, disinfecting them with wine and bandaging them to stop the bleeding. Lifting him up, he placed him on his own donkey and brought him to an inn. Then he took him from his donkey and carried him to a room for the night. And the next morning, he took his own money from his wallet and gave it to the innkeeper with these words: take care of him until I come back from my journey. And if it costs more than this, I will repay you when I return. Now, to say that in Jesus' time, Jewish people and Samaritans did not get along was a real understatement. However, to add depth to the teaching that Jesus was presenting to this religious scholar, he tells him that it was a Samaritan who saw the Jewish man, and it was the Samaritan who actually helped him take care of the wounds. Now, this would have been enough to prove his point. But Jesus doesn't stop there, because to drive his point home, he builds on this opening by telling the scholar that not only does a Jewish priest walk by, but a religious Levite crosses the road too and leaves this wounded man. And some of you reading this story and listening to this story right now, you have been robbed, you've been beaten, and you've been stripped by a bandit, because that's what happened to the Jewish man. He was beaten and robbed on a stretch of road that it was well known in Jesus' time for bandits. And you feel like you've been robbed too by the bandit Satan at some point in your life. And you've hoped, and you've looked at religion, and you've hoped that they've taken care of your wounds, only to be left disappointed and even more hurt because religion has chose to walk by you. And Martin Luther King Jr., he commented on this parable, and this is what he said. He said, I imagine that the first question the priest and Levi asked was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But by the very nature of his concern, the Good Samaritan reversed the question. If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? You know, it's so sad when religious people ask themselves the same question when they see someone who's been hurt very badly, very deeply, and sometimes from the church. They look at the person and they think, if I help this person, what's going to happen to me? But like Martin Luther Jr., King Jr. says in his quote, if I do not stop to help, what's going to happen to him? Because the truth is, Jesus didn't think the same. And I'm so glad he didn't. He didn't think the same when he saw our wounded condition. And yet he still chose to pour himself out upon the cross. And he still was so moved by compassion, even in our brokenness, that he poured his blood. This is the disinfecting wine that poured into every infectious wound that we've experienced or we're ever going to experience. And Jesus left a blood trail for you and me to follow that he left at the cross that's going to clean our wounds, it's going to disinfect them, and it's going to heal our brokenness. So have you felt as though religion has passed you by when you needed your deep wounds healed? Well, Jesus, he paid the price. He paid the price. He stopped. He cleansed your wounds. And it was with his wine. That's his blood. And it poured out onto us from the cross. And you know what? It didn't cost him something like the Good Samaritan. It actually cost him everything. And I'll see you next week. Thank you for joining me today in the spacious room. I invite you to join me in my other rooms, my website, www.thebigvoiceonline.com, and my Big Voice YouTube channel. See you in the room next time.